Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking in our series on spirit and spirituality and how to reverse that flow of unrighteousness with righteousness. And we're going to get through the last of these 25 different items that someone mentioned as signs that you may be awakening. And of course, this is just, we're filling up a show here, trying to show you little glimpses. You really won't wake up until you repent, turn around, and start going back the other way. We have come to a place where the blind lead the blind, where the ignorant teach us a false truth. And if we are to awaken, we must turn around and actually move in the other direction, actually head back to the ways, to the system of our Father, who created us in the beginning. And it changes us, just as we have already been changed by the nature of the society that we have created for ourselves. What is the driving force of the Spirit in our lives today? How do we grow towards the good rather than the evil? How do we grow towards the righteous rather than the wicked? And in this series that we're doing on the idea of spirit and the continuation of the series on Resist Not Evil, we were going through this list of Josh Richardson. And in the 20th item of his 25 items, he says, "We are obsessed with bringing the truth to light. Those that he thinks is waking up," he says, "are obsessed with bringing the truth to light." The reality is the truth is the light. The truth is the truth. The truth stands on its own. It is reality. It's like I've said, my opinion is my opinion. God's opinion is reality. God's opinion is life, light. And the truth is light. It's not bringing the truth to light. It's bringing the truth into ourselves, accepting the truth, realizing the truth, living according to the truth. In the last show, I talked about the Greeks and, of course, even the Romans. And when Pontius Pilate says, "What is the truth?" The truth is not an idea that you memorize. It's not something you can write down in the book. The truth is reality realized. It is not that you know something is right, but it is that you know something is right and you do it. You act accordingly. You move accordingly to that righteousness. And that's why Christ begins with seek the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and his righteousness. Because that's how you find the truth. You can't store up the truth. You can't put it into a box or a bag or a book and say, "I have the truth. And now I can give it out to this person or that person. I can share it with this person and that person." The truth is this spirit of life that has brought all living creatures into existence, holds reality into a consistent state, or at least consistent enough in which we can live in this realm. And we've talked about the multiple dimensions and all these kinds of things in our quantum and string theory shows and stuff. We are obsessed, those who are waking up are obsessed or possessed of the light. We desire the light, and the light finds a place to dwell within us. And therefore, we become one with the light because we accept it, not because we generate it. It exists already. It is the reality of creation. It exists already. It is what we must pursue and seek and desire to know. But as we see it, we must again act upon it. Otherwise, it's not the truth. It's merely the idea of the truth. This is why it's not those who say, but those who do it. We don't live in fear of anything, it says item number 21. Well, I don't know hardly anybody who doesn't live in fear of something. He goes on to say, any and all changes coming, no matter how much they are perceived as negative or dramatic, on our earth are being designed by us. Well, designed by the collective. I don't know who all is in the collective, but I know that we're not alone in this collective. There are many evil people out there who are designing as well. There are wicked people out there who are designing and creating and influencing. And then there are those who have gained an influence over those people, which draws them more into wickedness. It is the spirit of wickedness, the spirit of darkness, the spirit, we have all these different names, that bring a light but not the true light. They leave off the characteristics of the Creator that expand and create and bear fruit. This is why Jesus was going to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees and others and give it to another who would bear fruit, because they were not bearing fruit, because they were more in conformance to the adversary than they were with God, the giver of life. So the question is, not what do you believe, what religion you belong to, what denomination you've accepted, but do you conform to the character of the Creator? Are you doing things in the name of the Creator? Are you acting in accordance to the character of the Creator? The earth is, he says, we have passed the point of no return, and the earth is ascending to a higher state of consciousness. Well, not necessarily. Because some people are getting less and less conscious. They're not getting more conscious because they hate the light. They're not becoming more conscious. They're becoming less. And evil, All Souls Day and All Saints Day, those are Halloween and the day that follows. And it was always the evil comes out in its greatest strength the day before All Saints Day by tradition. Well, there's a principle expressed in that philosophy or that idea or that tradition. And that when there comes a time of great awakening, there also comes a time of great evil, because many do not want you awake. They do not love the light. They hate the light. They do not want righteousness to prosper. They want unrighteousness to prosper, because they are not comfortable with the character of God. They have rebelled against it. And they have followed after those that have rebelled against the righteousness of God. And so they're constantly enticing you. People talk about the system. And we've got a lot of things up. We put up a cartoon, Follow the White Rabbit. And we may be making more if we get the time to do it. And the White Rabbit talks about these things. And it's just another outreach that we've put together. But he talks about the system in this first cartoon we put up. The system. People talk about the system, not about needing to be a part of the system, being separate from the system. And I talked about the book 1984 in a previous show, where the people were all in the system, and the system was using them, and some of them wanted to rebel and join the resistance, but the resistance was part of the system too. And evil doesn't really care whether you rebel against it or conform to it. It simply does not want you conforming to Christ. It does not want you to live your life in His name, according to His character. And again, what are the characteristics that evil is most opposed to? I mean, there's many levels of evil, but the most common characteristics of evil to show that someone is in opposition to the character of God, the giver of life, is they are not forgiving and they are not giving. They do not want to be charitable. They do not want to sacrifice their life. They don't mind if other people sacrifice for them, but they do not want to sacrifice for others. They are proud and arrogant, self-willed. So these are the characteristics they want to promote in you, and they don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian. They just don't want you seeking the righteousness of God. They don't want you seeking to be ruled by God, accepting God the Father as your Father. If you love your Father and He asks you to do something, you do it because you love your Father. What He asks you to do is irrelevant. It has to do with your compassion and your love and appreciation and admiration of your Father. So it's the same way in the kingdom of God. God tells you what He wants you to do, and you either listen and do it, or you don't listen, and then you can't hear Him anymore. He can't hear you anymore. You have separated yourself from Him because you've turned your back on Him. So now, if you repent and want to go back that, you must start doing what He tells you. If you see a nail on the street, and you see it, and God says, pick it up, and you don't, you say, well, I don't need to, I don't have time to, I got to keep going, and you don't pick it up, God will not tell you how to save yourself, or maybe save others. You didn't care about if somebody drove over that nail and got a puncture. You were just going to go on your way and leave it, because you were too busy to sacrifice your time to pick up that nail. So how much more will God not sacrifice Himself for you? If you sacrifice for the good of others, God will give you blessings. If you do not, God will not give you blessings. Including, He will not tell you when to leave town, when to turn right, when to turn left, when to put on the brakes. You have to act upon what He tells you. So yes, do you act according to fear? No. You act according to love. Love of the Father. And you will find that that manifests itself into love of others. You will want to do things for others. Not just anything, but things that strengthen them. Make them more aware of the righteousness of God. Like you don't just shower your children with gifts after gifts after gifts after gifts. You want them to learn to be responsible. You want to learn them to learn to give to others. Yes, you give them the example of your charity, but if they will not be charitable to others, you do not want to encourage that sloth. You would be a bad parent. Well, it's the same with your neighbors and your friends. You want to strengthen the poor by getting them to strengthen one another. You want everybody to be putting on the full armor of God, which is the character of Christ. And so everything you do will be designed to get people to be more responsible. When you look out into the world at the system of things, everything they do is designed to make you less responsible. They force the contributions of the people to provide for the welfare of the people. They take the children and educate them out, take the children out of the family. Yet the family is the institution from which all society springs, but yet they take the children out of the family and put them in institutions to learn, when they should actually put them in the family to learn. Not only for what the children will learn from their parents, but what their parents will learn from their children, which is patience and love. God designed the system of the family and families coming together in free will offerings to help one another and to learn to love one another. Cain designed a system whereby he rules over the people and compels their offerings and provides welfare for them, and we see that in Nimrod's Babylon, in Pharaoh's Egypt, and in Caesar's Rome. And we see it in the modern governments of today, and we call it socialism. It's where some ruling class forces everybody to contribute according to their desires and then provides benefits for those they wish to reward. And you create a whole different society. You breed a whole different kind of man and woman. And there's no easy going back. The only way to go back, homeschool, home health, home assurance, home health insurance, not insurance, home health assurance. Coming together in congregations to take care of one another. That begins to change all of society, but you don't do that in a moment, in a day. You do that by changing the direction you've been going, changing the way, repenting, turning around. You don't do it out of fear that the system will collapse, even though it will. The unrighteous mammon will fail. You do it, you gather together to create more righteous habitations. That's why you gather together. So yeah, you don't fear anything. You love everything. But even your love may include rebuke. So in his item 22, he says, we can't keep track of time. Our imagination often gets away with us, and a day can feel like a minute and a week a day. Well, actually, the reverse can happen. A minute can seem like a day. I'm curious about how awake he's becoming. Time does seem to be more relative. Sometimes it seems to be going faster, sometimes not. Is it our imagination? Imagination is when you image, project your image of reality on your thinking. That's imagination. You project an image of reality onto the screen of your thinking. And imagination is a tool, but it's a tool found in the tree of knowledge. Inspiration and imagination are not the same thing. Imagination is the tool. Inspiration is the source of your guidance. Now, you can be inspired by evil and you can be inspired by good. How do you get inspired by good? You do righteousness. You repent of unrighteousness. And you walk in this other direction. You must turn around and walk in the other direction, doing whatever it is that is put before you to do. That would be in conformity to righteousness. Someone wrote me today and said that we're asking about charity outside the church. And of course, we explain in many places, we have videos up on it about the red heifer. And people don't know what the red heifer was, and I've told this many times, and I'm not going to explain it all right now, but the sacrifice of the red heifer that we read about in the Bible, the sacrifice of the red heifer that we read about in the Bible has nothing to do with a heifer, has nothing to do with the color red, has nothing to do with burning up a cow outside the camp, because all the altars of clay and altars of stone had nothing to do with dirt and rocks. They had to do with people. You're an altar of clay, and your ministers should be altars of stone. When they gather together, a gathering of stones, a gathering of friends, a gathering of friends of God who are doing the will of God, who are taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, and therefore are at liberty. But today in the world, the people of the system of things are not free. In the bondage of Egypt, you had to give 20% of everything you produced to the government. And that was called bondage. In today's world, you have to give 20, 30, 40, 50% of everything you produce to the government, and you call it freedom. You're not free. You're in bondage. You're enslaved. You're a surety for debt, and your children are surety for debt. And every day you take a benefit from the system, you put your children more and more in debt. And eventually there will come a day of reckoning. But the key thing is how do you get back on the spiritual path to righteousness and off the spiritual path to unrighteousness? Because that's why you've gone into bondage. If we suddenly took you out of Egypt and said you were all free, you would go back into bondage right away unless you change the spirit by which you move and walk and find direction. If you don't change the inner man, he will simply return to the same situation that he was in before, the dog returning to the vomit and the pig to the mire. So the inner man must change. Jesus talks about that. Moses talks about that. Prophets talk about that. You must change inside. Well, the system itself lends to you the opportunity of change. That's why you've become what you've become, is because a socialist system changes the character and nature of the people born in that system. So you must make a conscious effort, an intentional effort, to change the way in which you relate to each other. You must impose upon yourself a new system, a system not based on benefactors who exercise authority, but benefactors who exercise love. Not centralized treasury type benefactors, but decentralized individuals who love one another, care for one another, provide for one another. Like the human body. I mean, in your body, there are hundreds of thousands of veins and arteries moving blood around, feeding every cell in your body. In the body of Christ, there are hundreds of thousands of veins and cells moving about, feeding one another, caring for one another, providing for one another. Because they choose to. I talked about healing recently. I stepped in a hole, a pit, just a tiny little, almost like a post hole, out in the middle of nowhere, out in the desert. And I'm walking along, and just right underneath a branch of a bush that I stepped on and were just kind of brushing the bush out of the way, there's this hole that goes straight down. It doesn't look like anything was dug out. It's a sinkhole-like thing. It just went straight down right there in that spot. There was no evidence of anything being dug out. It's like there's a crack down there somewhere, and the dirt went down that hole. And it's very small. It's only about like 8 inches, 9 inches across. And I stepped in it. All the places I could walk, I walked right by. I was carrying a shovel full of dirt, and I walked right by this bush, foot went into it, and I sprained my knee. And it twisted the ligaments back so that it actually pulled those ligaments quite a bit out of where they should be. And so it ended up that I had to be very careful how I walked, or I was walking bone on bone. I had to be careful about not locking that leg back. And so anyway, it would swell up if I did a lot of walking. It seems like I had to do more walking in the last week. We sheared sheep. We did all these things. And I was faced with how to heal this. Now, I've seen blood and white blood cells and red blood cells working under a microscope, and they work almost like they have a mind of their own. They go about the red blood cells feeding and providing oxygen, and the white blood cells devouring, invading bacteria and protecting from infection. And that's to say nothing. You don't see this other cells moving around so much, but they eat, they consume, they build back, they see damaged tissue and they replace it with new cells like themselves. All this is going on your knee to thousands and thousands of little individual entities, cells, working away to repair the damage. And the blood flow is increased and you can feel pulsing in the knee. And you think, like, what's going on? what's happening. Well, the pain that comes along with this is actually a message telling you where it needs the most attention. If you war against the pain, if you become angry with the pain, you slow down the healing process. If you curse the pain, you curse the discomfort. If you are angry with it, if in your heart you shout at it, you rail against it, you slow down the healing process. You make it more difficult. But if you accept the pain, accept the sacrifice of the pain, you will actually heal more quickly. I'll tell you more about that and how you do that healing when we come back, and then we'll finish the last three items in his list of what he believes, Josh believes, is signs that someone may be awakening. But we'll do that when we come back after this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back, and we're talking about healing, which is always a popular topic with people. If they have injuries or sickness or cancers or whatever. And most illness is just injury anyway. Now, some illness is the result of anxiety and fears directly, almost directly. And we will also pick up, those fears will magnify. Fear is a form of worship. Most people don't realize that. It is the antithesis of love and trust. But it is down the same tube, let's put it that way. It's down the same channel. It's just in the opposite direction. Love and faith or trust in the righteousness of God is an avenue by which spiritual energy passes through us. It's a conduit. Well, if you're afraid, if you're angry, judgmental, jealous, envious, you are filling the conduit with the flow going the other way. And that will bring in or open you up to diseases and injuries and what have you. I'm not an extremely healthy person. I'm a pretty hard worker. But when I was a boy, I was very sickly. You know, they didn't think I was going to survive till I was 21. I mean, I went to the doctor's offices several times a week. And would get shots, 11 shots every Tuesday, every Thursday, supposedly to keep me alive and healthy. And then one day, when I was about 13, I just said, I'm not going to the doctor anymore, period. Went cold turkey. Went back a few times over the next 20 years and was completely unsatisfied with what I received there. But I just stopped going, and I think that was one of the greatest improvements to my health. But it was also about taking responsibility. But there was so much built up over the years of following and being deceived and being tempted to go certain ways. I mean, young people are tempted all the time, and they're kind of thrown out into the world with very little knowledge or understanding of how things work, mostly because their parents were almost as ignorant as them or as deceived. But you have in your body almost everything needed to heal you as far as the instrumentation of, I mean, just imagine how your body has produced, you don't even think about it. You get a cut, it starts healing itself right away. You know, you smash your thumb, it turns black and blue. You know, I broke my thumb last year. I didn't break it, somebody else broke it. Anyway, it was kind of turned into the shape of an L. A big log fell down on it, and it just kind of made my thumb look like it had a joint to the side. And, you know, I immediately wanted it straight. And the pain was pretty excruciating, but it eventually healed and became totally functional, and it healed actually rather quickly. But I tell you that you go to the pain, you listen to the pain, you accept the pain, don't fight against it, don't war against it. And you also have to have an attitude of love. Because you, when you're first injured, the flow is reversed. You know, your habit is one of anger and resentment and fear and anxiety. And all those things drain you and drain the energy. It's like, you know, you've got one water bottle and somebody just poked a hole in it just when you went to get a drink. And it's just draining out. You need to approach things, you know, first thing you need to do is be still. Most people don't know how to be still. They don't know how to be calm. They have to keep occupied all the time. They have to keep their minds going all the time. They have to have music playing all the time. They need music. They need the sound of other people talking. They'll play the TV or the radio. Oh, sometimes they'll play religious stations all the time. you know, religious guys preaching. Oh, I have to have input. I can't just do these mindless tasks without input from other people, from other sources, music or sermons or entertainment. That's not a good sign. What you need is how to be still and still be at peace. You see, be still and know is not a joke. It's not just an idle statement. It's a directive. You need to learn to be still in order to receive the message. You got to turn off all those other channels that are feeding into your brain from outside. And then you also have to learn how to shut your own mind off. The chatter, you know, fast talkers, blah, 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 blah. The chatter in your own brain is seen coming out of your mouth. Can't you just be still? Be calm in the moment. Wait upon the Lord. That's what waiting upon the Lord is being still. Now, smash your thumb and be still. Not so easy. Especially if you haven't learned to be still just in the average everyday events of your life. You know, commotion around you. You know, children or community or fellow workers. Are you walking, broadcasting calmness, patience, tolerance, love? I've had people, you know, I'm just working away in life doing what I'm led to do, and somebody comes across my path that is full of anger and resentment and growling. Do I react to it? I see their anger. Do I think, oh, they're so angry? Or do I just see their anger and note it as a reality, but not as a judgment? Can they calm down? Do they lose their power? Do I give them power by reacting to it? You see, worship is attention. And so whether you love Satan or hate Satan with an angry judgment, you still are reacting to the presence of Satan. That is still a form of worship. You need to go through life with love of righteousness. You're to seek righteousness. When you seek righteousness of God in everything you do and think and ponder, evil will flee you. You will leave evil behind. But you must also have sacrifice, because then one of the things you sacrifice is your desire to be distracted, which is why you have on all that music and all those sermons or all those TV programs or all the, you know, the commotion. People love crowds. I love to get in a crowd. I can get in a crowd. I don't need to get in a crowd. I am content alone, or I'm content in the crowd. And the people in the crowd can get angry with one another. I knew a guy who once he went to a demonstration, and there, I think it was on abortion or something, and there were people on both sides yelling at each other. And he actually liked to get in the middle between them. And he said, I could feel the energy as they were yelling at each other. And he took delight in that. The ability to sense spiritual things was strong in him. But he wanted to sense them for his own delight. That's not self-sacrificing. You're doing it for you. You need to be self-sacrificing. I knew a fellow whose wife divorced him. And she was pregnant with his child, and he had never seen his child. I mean, this is the only child they had between them. And she was a bit of a stinker. She had gone through a rough life. She'd been molested when she was 14, and she'd been in one drama after another. She seemed to draw drama to her, and here was another drama, and she was divorcing her husband. And I could see what was playing out there, that he could have won the situation, won the case, and in some ways he did win the case. They actually, well, it's a long story, I won't tell you, but he hasn't got to see his daughter. He's seen pictures of her. He doesn't have any custodial rights, and she's just gotten away. But the reason why she got to do what she did was because he did not come to the situation willing to sacrifice himself. I told him, and he didn't understand. You must be willing to be crucified in this court and take your position in righteousness. And if you don't, you will lose. And even though he won in some sense of the court, he's lost his daughter. So I told him a second avenue to follow. I said, write your daughter every day, at least every week. Send her a letter. And he says, she just sends the letter back. She won't even open up. It comes back unopened. She rejects the mail. Okay, I said, then put that letter in a shoebox and write another letter. And do this every week. You know, every week, what is that, 52 letters a year? No big deal. What does that amount to, $25 in stamps? No big deal. It's your daughter. Write her and tell her what you're thinking. Think about her. Sacrifice that time every day to think about your daughter. Someday that daughter will be 18. Someday that daughter will see you. Someday that daughter will be drawn to talk to you. Say nothing of the quantum. Just average everyday curiosity. Because you have invested this love towards her. Spend time preparing a place for her if your ex-wife or wife or whatever you want to call her dies, becomes incapacitated. You have a place for your daughter. Even prepare a place for your wife. But no, did not want to do that. Wanted to live in his imagination about being free or something, being righteous, rather than doing righteousness. And so he probably will have nothing to show his daughter someday, and will never be a father, and will not be welcomed in the kingdom because he was worse than the infidels. He did not provide for his family. It's the same way in your own body. This goes on all the time. Do you feed your body or do you feed your tongue? Do you take care of yourself? How can you take care of yourself if you do not equally take care of your neighbor? The talk of GMOs. What are you doing about that? You want them not to make them anymore. A great idea. If they would agree, I would agree. They're not going to agree. You can fight it politically. You can try to get them to label it. It's a good idea. But what are you actually going to do to remedy the situation? You need to grow your own. You need to produce your own food. And not just for you, but for others. Eventually, if you apply that principle to everything, and not just that isolated problem that's showing up, problem of debt, is, you know, all these problems we see, debt, GMOs, corruption in government, these are results of the creative power of the people. Because they themselves are corrupt. They love to take a bite out of one another. They love, you know, I spoke in an earlier show about somebody who wrote that the Bible is not popular in our public schools. The Christian Bible is not popular in our public schools. It is rejected. If you're sending your kids to public school, you've already rejected the teachings of the Christian Bible. Because you're coveting your neighbor's goods to get that free education. You're praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority in order to get that free education. Because you're not paying for it. You're making your neighbor pay for it. Because you don't mind being part of a system of covetousness. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Paul says that the covetous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Yet, there you are, coveting your neighbor's goods at the agency of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, in direct opposition of Christ. If you repent of that and do what you need to do to teach your children, you don't have any children in school, help those gather together with others who are trying to teach their children at home and help them do that. Others who would like to homeschool their children but are afraid to do it because they don't think they have enough time, volunteer. Do it through, you know, our network if you want. That's what our network's there for. Form congregations of record where people will help one another. See to it that you have the means by which to teach your children at home. Get them out of the public schools. Pay for it yourself, or depend upon the free will offerings of those who will help you finance the education of your children. That's turning around. That's going the other way. That's changing the flow that will heal society in many other areas. You see, because you're following a spiritual flow of coveting your neighbor's goods, of taking from your neighbor, of turning a blind eye to what's really going on, and therefore now you are blind, and you are the blind leading the blind. Item 24, it says, we often disagree with authority for obvious reasons. Now, this is just a general public webpage on health. I think it's connected to preventativedisease.com and wakingtimes.com. I think they might be showing up on places like that. I don't actually have the URL in front of me, but it says we often disagree with authority for obvious reasons. I don't know what those he thinks is obvious. To a lot of people, it's not obvious. Some people call it anarchy without a true understanding of what that word or our governments really are. Anarchy is without that exercising authority. Israel was an anarchy. Israel was not a top-down government. It did not have an exercising authority. They didn't have a king over them. They were bottom-up responsibility. They weren't a democracy. They talk about them being a theocracy, but, I mean, God wasn't standing there. The United States is more of a theocracy with the president standing as the God of the people, or at least the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is appointed by the presidency and approved by the, Congress. And they are the gods many of that nation. They tell you what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. And you are bound by their word. If they say it is good to abort children, it's good to abort children. They are the gods of that decision. You've given them that power. That's an archy. They have the power and authority to say it's time to contribute. They have the power and authority to say, eat these GMOs. They have the power and authority to say, your money is worthless. They have the power and authority that says, today, 50% of the time, you will work for us. That's an archy. That's an authority, a power, an authority. And you have given them that power because you have not gone the ways of Christ. They didn't have that power 200 years ago in America. They have it now because you have given it to them, because you have made covenants with them, agreements with them, contracts with them. You have applied for their benefits. And the greatest destroyers of liberties are givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Public school was in the minority for educational purposes before the turn of last century. Most people were not educated in public schools, and even then, most of the funds spent in public schools were privately donated. Today, it's the reverse. And today, we have a different society, a different system, a different way. We have to go back if we are to change the nation back. You can't say, well, we'll just return to the Constitution. The Constitution guarantees your right to make these contracts. To contract away your access to your inalienable rights, and that's what you've done. You don't know how to live in a society where there isn't somebody ruling over you because you have been so long without exercising the responsibility. How can you have... I remember poverty... I won't say what communities they were, but the... Back east, it was a poverty-stricken community. Crime, trash in the streets, houses broken into, prostitution, drugs on the streets. And one block said, we have to do something. They had a block party, and they got together, and they started Community Watch, and they started helping one another clean up the streets. And, when the drug dealers came around, they went over and they preached to the drug dealers. They brought their Bibles over in their suits and their holy book, whatever it was, and they said, we want to preach to you about righteousness. And they said, I'm just going to the next street. I don't need this kind of thing. And you could drive along that whole community and you'd see one war-torn block after another. All of a sudden you get to this one block and it was immaculate. And there were trees growing in the street, on the sidewalks. And, the houses were clean and painted. There was no garbage around. And people were laughing. You could hear music as you walked down the street. It's like, what happened to this street? The people got responsible. And they came together to be responsible. And, of course, some resisted that at first. But others said, well, we'll clean up your front of your house. We'll clean up the trash. And there were some that were grumpy for a long time. And everybody just smiled. And eventually they came around. And this actually spread to the next block and the next block. And now that community early, I haven't been back there for many, many, many years. I don't know what they're doing now. They may have all gone back the other way. But the house values in that block, and eventually became other blocks, went up. And then people got, but it wasn't just buying into the community. You had to buy into the idea of being responsible and taking care of one another. We see the same thing going on in Detroit now, in some areas of Detroit. But the police have just thrown up their hands, and other people have come in and started creating intentional communities. We talked to people on one of our calls today about this. There are a lot of pitfalls that we don't know how to do this. And the fact is how to do it is actually in the Bible. But you never hear the preachers telling you this. So anyway, item number 25. We will often be kind, but if you are egotistical or rude, we won't spend much time with you or find an excuse not to hang out with people who are obsessed with themselves. Actually, what it is that people who are waking up are personable. They are hospitable. They don't play the games that everybody else plays. And so, we have some people in our communities that I've known that are actually not very good people. Some of them actually appear to be very good on the surface. But they absolutely tremble when I come around. People thought, well, why are they so afraid of you? Why are they so... And they fall all over themselves sometimes to wait on me. In some cases, it varies with different kinds of people. But when you really begin to awaken, people who don't want to wake up don't want to be around you. People who would like to wake up but are afraid feel that fear when they're around you. They're not really mad at you, but they fall all over themselves to try to please you. But that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean anything to you. You're not playing that game. But anyway, we could get into that more and show you how to cast out demons and all that stuff, but we'll just have to save that for the next time on Keys of the Kingdom, because we're out of time. Until then, peace upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.